Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, Perloff, only one team is going to ultimately land Aaron Rodgers, we think. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I guess retirement is on the table. Maybe this ends up snake eyes on everybody. But meanwhile, Rodgers still kind of, you know, holding a couple teams. Don't say hostage, but kind of feels like it. Steelers are interested. Giants are interested. And we found out yesterday from Diana Rossini that the Vikings are now interested. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally different calculus because you have J.J. McCarthy. They keep... I know that was the Raiders were crushed. They didn't get Matthew Stafford. But, you know, it's a different calculus, I think, for the Vikings because they keep saying publicly, we are committed to J.J. McCarthy and we don't want anything to impede his development. Well, Aaron Rodgers in the building may do that. Now, that is not the same kind of, factor that the Giants or the Steelers would have because they don't have any young quarterbacks on the roster right now. So let's just say plan B. The Steelers seems kind of obvious. You had Russell Wilson. He was there last year. You could bring him back. I know he's visiting the Cleveland Browns and then the Giants. But it feels like the obvious pivot for the Steelers, no Rodgers, go to Russ. Not as clear for the New York Giants, who are holding the third overall pick. If they miss out on Rodgers, where do they go?
Why not Russ? Why is the Russ going there Friday, right? Tomorrow? What's the difference?
Well, I think Russ would go to the Steelers. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If Rodgers goes to the Vikings, I think Russell goes to the Steelers. Yeah. He already is familiar with the system.
I mean, honestly, the Giants wanted Matthew Stafford, right? It fell apart. Did not happen. If they miss out on Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I think that's the universe telling them they have to tank this entire season. And if you're a Giants fan, aren't you somewhat thrilled? You do not want Russell Wilson in the building. I mean, Manny's a Giants fan. I know a lot of Giants fans. They will be depressed if Russell Wilson is a signing. And they should be because they're going to win five games. So I think the nothingness of this quarterback situation is actually somewhat enticing. That means they have to go young either this year's draft or next year's draft. And that, to a Giants fan, I think that's what Giants fans want. They don't want Russell Wilson, and I don't really think they want Aaron Rodgers. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers on the Giants? Is that going to do anything? I don't even think the most optimistic Giants fans are too fired up.
No.
Well, I think the only people that it serves to bring in Aaron Rodgers are the two guys who are making this decision, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who are both on the hot seat. And that's their owner, John Mara's fault for publicly putting them on the hot seat and forcing them to say, we're going to take a big swing. We're going to leave no stone unturned. Like the talk coming out of New York with the Giants has been big. Like, don't worry, we're going to get this figured out. Meanwhile, they've had come up with Bubkis. But I think what it means, if they can't get Aaron Rodgers, I think they go to Shador. I think it's the only kick save and a beauty they have. It's the only, like, ace up the sleeve and good luck with that, because there's a lot of people who don't think Shador is actually worthy of a first-round grade. Now, we can talk about that, and we will talk about it, but I think the only way they salvage this if they miss out on Rodgers is to take Shador, and then you look like, all right, this was the plan the whole time. We always love Shador, and you can spin it that way.
Yeah, but are you worried about missing out on next year's draft if you take Shador? Because you add Shador to this Giants team, and he has to start immediately. I know he's a bit older. They could be really bad, and they could be 4-13 again. They were 3-14 this year. And then you're sitting there at the top of the draft again. Do you think about that if you're the Giants? If you're John Mara and Steve Tisch, do you say, well, we could go Shador, but, man, I will really, really want Arch. I think that is being talked about in the building.
Okay, but if you really want Arch Manning, then why were you going hard after Matthew Stafford? Because he was going to win you more than 5 games. Matthew Stafford could be good for 8 or 9, and then you're real far away from Arch.
I'm saying the whole strategy has pivoted because of what actually happened. Mm. Once they didn't get Stafford, I think they changed their minds. I think they should change their minds. They didn't get Stafford. They're not going to get, if they don't get Rodgers, then at some point, don't you just say, okay, well, this isn't happening. Let's just go a completely different direction.
So here's my questions about the Giants-Arch Manning situation. Yeah. We know what happened with the Giants and the Eli Manning situation.
Yep.
Giants didn't even have the number one pick, and they were still able to get Eli.
Right, went from 4-1.
Exactly. I know the relationship between Eli and the Giants is obviously very, very good, despite some wrinkles at the end.
Right.
Do you think the Giants still carry the same kind of cachet that they did when Eli Manning was coming out of the draft in 2004? And I know the Giants, like, globally have the 4 Super Bowl trophies, and they are one of the great franchises, I guess, in the NFL. But as any Giants fan, like Manny, will tell you, it's been a long decade. Like, this thing snowballed pretty fast where, you know, I think a lot of things that the Giants used to hang their hat on are no longer true. Like, we're a smart organization. We're a disciplined organization. We're a, you know, stable organization. The evidence is not there right now. They cycle through head coaches. They've cycled through general managers. They do make bad decisions. And they've kind of become just like everybody else.
Yeah, but what were they? I don't remember them being that good in 2004. They were kind of, I know they made the one random Super Bowl run. With Kerry Collins, yep. It got destroyed. But I don't think there were any great shakes back then.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like they were terrible then, too. Like, the 90s weren't good to the Giants after the first Super Bowl to Bill. Sorry, Maggie.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then the early 2000s also, they went Super Bowl, got crushed, and then they were kind of, yeah.
But don't you think more reputational damage has been done in this last decade?
I think Eli counters all that. I know what you're saying.
Why would they want Arch to go to Indianapolis? Like, why does it have to be Eli's destination? Why couldn't it be Peyton's? This is not Eli's kid. It's his nephew. It's Cooper's kid. So, like, to think that they have some kind of, like, loyalty to the Giants over Denver. Well, it won't be Denver now because of Bo Nix. But why not Indy?
Like, well, I feel like Indy wins 9 games every year, so they win 8 or 9 games.
The Giants would kill to win 9 games right now.
No. I don't think that they're going to be at the top of the draft to get him.
Well, think about it, Maggie. We see Eli Manning getting a lot of accolades, awards, love from the New York Giants. When's the last time you seen Peyton in Indy?
You know, it's funny. I don't see him there a lot.
He lives in Denver.
Not an accident.
But do you think there's a bad relationship there?
Yes.
Because of Irsay?
I think Peyton didn't love how it ended there, and I don't think it was a Eli Manning Giants kumbaya at the end. I think it just ended.
Well, Eli and the Giants went through their stuff.
Yeah, that's
too.
What I'm saying. They
benched Eli when he had the record for most starts.
But as you mentioned, Eli's come back. He's been honored.
Oh,
like,
my
he's
God.
Definitely Mr. Giant. Like, yeah. Peyton Manning is not Mr. Colt, which is crazy. It's insane. But he is Mr. Bronco. He's at the Nuggets games.
Yeah.
He lives in Denver. Like, he's
my dog.
He's made Denver his place, Peyton's place.
Well, if you look at it right now, isn't the big competition, wouldn't it be the Giants and the Saints would be the two teams? Cooper is Mr. New Orleans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think the Giants have the market cornered on Arch is what I'm saying.
You're right.
It is kind of weird that Peyton is not a bigger figure, I guess, in Indy. Although, is his name on the hospital or something? I think he still has, like, roots in the city. But fair. And maybe because we live in New York, we see Eli around all the time. But I just think that it's not a fait accompli that they're going to funnel Arch to the Giants. I think if the Giants don't get Aaron Rodgers, I think they go Shador. And it's like, here's our shiny toy. Forget all the failures of Matthew Stafford and Rodgers and forget all that. We're just going to take Shador. And now we've got something new to talk about. Change the conversation, like Don Draper used to say.
Right. But and you're probably right. But I actually question that fit where Shador is and where that team is. If I'm Deion and the Shador team, I might not want him to go there. I would probably rather him go to Vegas or somewhere where even he sits a year. Just because that's a disastrous situation. If Shador has to start in New York this year, they are not going to win a lot of football games.
I think maybe we see the Giants a little bit differently. I actually don't think, listen, they're coming off a season where they won three games. It's a hard team to defend, but they're not totally bereft of talent.
No, they have a little talent, but I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds. They're in singular last place. The Titans are 200-1. The Giants are 250-1. It's going to be hard to win there. I think that O-line
is
not perfect.
No one would expect them to win in the first year or the second. Like, yeah, there's also not an expectation that Shador would come in and all of a sudden you've got to be competing with the Eagles.
Right, like Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they could be really bad and they could be high up in that draft next year, and they know that. It's got to be in their conversation. And it's not just Arch Manning. Next year's class, you got to assume, is going to be much better. There are a lot of names that we're going to be watching next year of quarterbacks. You know, Garrett Nussmeier, you got Drew Allers, went back to college. There are a lot of guys the Giants probably are interested. Remember, Giants love Carson Beck for some reason. He'll be around. I don't know if they still love him, but I don't know. The opportunity cost of taking Shador now means you're not getting a quarterback in the future. So that is definitely in the cards, because if they don't get Rodgers, then they just have to pivot off this old quarterback plan.
Well, there's no one left.
Well, they just go Flacco. Go trade James for Cousins. Winston.
You think Jameis in New York is a good fit?
Jameis, yeah. Go Jameis.
I don't know if it's a good fit, but I mean, like I said the other day, it feels like the Giants are just striking out. It feels like they're being picked last by you. They're just the bottom of the barrel. So, I mean...
You don't want Shador, Manny?
I mean...
You couldn't get revved up by Shador?
The Giants have sucked the life out of me.
See?
I'm indifferent now to the Giants. I'm indifferent now. It sucks.
Wow. 855-212-4227. Yeah, the pivot here, I think it goes to like someone just really kind of down and out and you basically tank the season.
No, I mean,
then the GM and the coach are all getting fired and you're going to have to start over.
I definitely think it could be Shador. It makes sense, but I think Shador is a system quarterback. He has to be in the right place because he's not huge, doesn't have this massive cannon. He is considered the great timing quarterback of this draft, where Cam Ward will throw balls out of anywhere. You have no idea where the ball is going to go. I think everyone thinks Shador has to get the right place with a coach he jives with, and maybe that's Dable. Honestly, I'd rather see him with Stefanski in Cleveland. I just think this is going to be a tough spot for Shador, and I wonder if Deion doesn't want him there. It's outdoors. You think about the other competition. Raiders sit a year and then Geno's gone. By the way, they have not signed Geno to a new contract.
Not yet.
I think there's a lot of other options. Yeah, honestly, if they draft Shador Sanders, what's their win total next year? Let's be realistic.
Five.
Yeah, but it's not a one-year thing. You would never say that about a rookie quarterback. No one would say, oh, you got to come in and we need you to win 10 games. Like, that's completely unrealistic. And I think Deion would say, hell yeah, to New York, because I don't know if market size really matters as much in this day and age, but, I mean, Deion and they're all real famous hanging out in Boulder, Colorado, but still, New York doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I wonder. I always think that Deion is more oriented towards the South, Atlanta, Dallas, Nashville. He seems to have a lot of connections in Nashville. So I don't know that New York thrills him. Windy Stadium. Yeah, I just don't love this fit.
But
I think you're right, Maggie. I do think they'll look at Shador to change the narrative. But I'm not excited about it. I mean, hey, I didn't know Jaden Daniels was going to be that good. So maybe it works, but it feels like the wrong fit.
Shador to Malik Nabers?
That's what I'm saying. When you think about the weapons, I know, Bowers is in Las Vegas, but the number one receiver of all these teams is definitely Nabers. Not even close.
Agree.
Right, but what's the best line out of all these?
Raiders.
Not the Giants.
Or Browns.
Yeah, maybe Browns.
Because I think Bitonio's going back to the Browns.
Yeah, those guys have gotten hurt a lot.
They get hurt. They're old and they're injury prone.
If they're healthy Browns, I think, but like, considering what happened last year, I think you argue the Raiders had a better line.
And now, by the way, the Titans also fixed their line in free agency. And Maybe they trade with the Giants. The Giants get up for Cam. What if is Cam in the conversation? Cam Ward?
I just think it's too obvious.
Now we're talking.
If you're the Titans, I mean, you're going to pass on Cam Ward when you have the number one pick.
Man, what if the Giants offered you two first rounders?
I'm still holding on to Nevin Shapiro saying that Cam Ward's going to be a Giant. He's the famous
disgrace booster from the Miami Hurricanes.
Yes. That's your source?
Look, he said it on a podcast, and he said, look, I know people who have told me with great confidence that the Giants will land Cam Ward.
There's a lot of smoke out there that the two New York teams are calling the Titans every day, trying to get up there.
Okay. I think they want them.
But EJ, you realize this is kind of a little faulty, right? Like, Nevin Shapiro has lied to everyone about everything. You don't think he would say something like this just to get a headline? This is the most thirsty. This dude had to hang out with teenagers to make himself feel good.
But Nevin, at the same time, he gets access to people are in the Miami area. Miami's a weird. Well, he's out of jail now. He's on house arrest or something. I don't know.
Fabulous.
And then he got commuted, right? Didn't Biden got him out of there? So now he's free. Right. So
back on the streets.
Miami's a weird place. There are people who just know things are going to happen, and there's connections. And Nevin, look, he's a known fraudster. Again, he's a Ponzi schemer. Like, we know what he is, but when it comes to Miami football, he does know people.
Can he not be, like, within 100 yards of the building?
I would think so. He shouldn't. He's a rat. I don't want him anywhere near Miami. He screwed us. But it doesn't deny the fact that he does know people.
I do like this idea. If I'm the Titans and I can get a hold of the Giants' number one pick for next year, that is very interesting to me. Because you could get a serious haul. And they could, if you get Travis Hunter at that three spot, I just think the Titans would at least listen to that call. Because right now, I don't think that's a great team with Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, Tennessee.
Yeah.
They did fix their offensive line. That's a big deal. But they could also wait till next year.
Well, I ask you this question then. Sorry to interrupt. Is Cam Ward worth two future firsts?
Well, to the Giants and the Jets, he's at least one first. I think you have to give up a first to move up to one.
No, you do. I'm just asking if it's worth it.
I think so. I think your Jets would definitely offer a first for Cam Ward.
I want them to. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen now because I think Fields is going to start this year. So I don't think you're going to trade draft capital now. But I've been saying the Jets should move up for Cam Ward. That's obvious to me.
855-212-4227. Okay, so we've got plan Bs all over the place. We're trying to be solution-based.
Kind of C or D for the Giants at
maybe.
This point.
I think this...
More like double A, double B.
I think that... All of this is really good for Shador Sanders. That's my bottom line. Rodgers, especially Rodgers retiring, that's phenomenal for Shador because it leaves a few more places that are desperate for quarterbacks, and he's just going to be sitting out there waiting. 855-212-4227, contemplating life. Oh, by the way, speaking of, we are asking you on X, do you think the photo of Aaron Rodgers sitting on the beach was staged? Now, this is a photo from yesterday. He's in Malibu, backwards hat. He's got some kind of towel blanket on, staring out into the ocean. 77% of the smart people are with me. Yes, it was staged. Everything Rodgers does for the cameras these
Don't
days.
Don't make it up, okay?
He brought cameras to his ayahuasca trip. Like... Then they called it the sacred tea ceremony. Is it that sacred when you've got, like, you know, four camera guys eating granola bars and holding the boom mic?
Will it hit me in the darkness?
No, it's not. It cheapens it.
But when you say stage, do you think that he's like, hey, I'm going to be here?
No.
Like, do you think he just like, I know I'm going to be seen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just walk on the beach and wait for somebody to take a picture.
I think people that famous kind of know. Okay. There's a good chance. Good chance if I go out in public, open like this, I'm on the beach by myself, someone's going to take a photo of me. Wouldn't he think that?
That
probably happens all the time. I'm sure it's super annoying, but also he can use it to his advantage. 855-212-4227. Okay, I've got a question for the group when we come back. We also have to get to some college hoops because this was an awesome, awesome, I don't know, what if that we got to get to. It's MVP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show, discussing Shador Sanders' future. So Shador's visited the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants, and he has the Titans next week. So if you look at the visits, he's going high in the draft, which is good. I wonder if also he could follow the Steelers at 21. We're talking about all these quarterback vacancies. Will Shador jump in there? I also want to throw it out to callers. Is anyone on the Mac Jones bandwagon in the coast with me? Come on, Mac Jones. Come on, Mac Jones. 2 years, $7 million. Kyle Shanahan is a wizard at fixing unathletic quarterbacks. He's getting Brock Purdy $50 million a year, and that guy was Mr. Irrelevant. I could go down the list of... I was looking at some guys who thrived under the Shanahan-Kubiak system. Matt Schaub, Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer had a killer half a season. My guy Case Keenum under Kubiak was amazing. You can, if you're a little undersized or you're a little slow, Kyle Shanahan's your guy. And look, when you're athletic, you're terrible under him.
Yeah, Trey Lance got no use for you.
Trey Lance was bad. He got RG3 killed. So basically, Shanahan loves these kind of weird... unathletic quarterbacks. I think Mac Jones has a renaissance in him. If there's an injury, which I'm not rooting for Brock Purdy, watch out for the Mac Jones train.
I just think that this was done a little bit on purpose. Now, they need a backup, so I guess, but I just think that they did this to try to force Brock to the table, maybe for the reasons you're saying, right? And I think that it's undeniable that you go back to the, what was it, 2022 draft, the Trey Lance draft, 2021, where the reports were that Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. Right. And then somehow they pivoted to Trey Lance. And they kind of did it last minute, at least, was the report. And so to finally reunite, I guess, with a guy that he had done a lot of research on and maybe wanted to draft, I think they're trying to send a message to Purdy. Get back to the table.
But it's not even just, right, I totally agree with that. But 2 years, $7 million is a kind of a weak message because that is really low-end backup money.
Well, they don't have a lot of money in San Francisco. A lot of talent just walked out the door.
The thing about Kyle Shanahan is he does fall out of love with quarterbacks. I mean, Jimmy G was sitting there, and he basically said goodbye to him about three times. And he could have easily stuck with Jimmy G.
Well,
and he
Jimmy G started to get hurt.
But he, even when Jimmy G was healthy, he got sick of him. Because Jimmy G is a little bit inaccurate. I could see this. A lot of things change under Kyle Shanahan and all the Shanahan Kubiak quarterbacks. Just surprising things happen. I think a Mac Jones renaissance is not out. Also, Mac Jones has a good arm. It's not a terrible arm. I bet on him a couple times in Jacksonville last year when he was playing.
How'd that go?
I think he hit over on his yardage. I have to double check, but he definitely can sling the ball a little bit. What's the difference between Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer? And I hate to say it, it's like Case Keenum and even Matt Schaub. These guys, there are guys who work in this system.
Yeah, no, Mac Jones was probably drafted a lot higher than those guys. And
it's a reason Shanahan wanted to draft him.
So here's the thing, though. I know you said you're not rooting for an injury, and I've known you a long time. You are not a root for injury guy. But it kind of sounds like you really want to see this Mac Jones thing. Brock is sitting there. Brock is healthy. How is this renaissance going to happen if we never get him on the field?
How many quarterbacks have played before last year? How many different quarterbacks have played under Shanahan at San Francisco? He was going five deep. They always, Nick Mullins used to get in all the time. Backups play a lot in this system.
Well, is that a flaw then of something that Shanahan is doing? Is that because we saw Brock get hurt a couple times when, especially the NFC Championship game against your Eagles a couple years ago, where they refused to help their offensive line. And I forgot who it was who got to Purdy. What was it? Hassan Reddick, was it? Who got to Purdy in that game?
I think it was Reddick, right?
And basically ripped his elbow off of his body. I think Kyle Shanahan deserves some blame for that because he was not chipping. He was not helping. And there was... you know, Purdy was a sitting duck back there. So maybe it's not like a coincidence.
It's also
that all these Shanahan quarterbacks keep getting hurt.
Well, right, they get hurt. He doesn't go, oh, you're not playing well. Sit down. Next guy comes in. They had Trey Lance snapped his ankle.
Yeah.
Jimmy G got hurt. And then the NFC title game was a complete aberration. He's not like just going to backup quarterbacks for fun. It's out of necessity.
No, but he did fall out of love with Garoppolo. That was well documented.
Garoppolo's not good.
Right.
So,
well, he was pretty. I mean, he came back in 2023, was it? And he was really good.
I mean, as a talent, like he's not John Elway, is what I'm saying.
He wins the face draft.
Right. Like is he? He's very good looking.
Right. By a long shot.
My point is, it's easy to fall out of love.
But obviously,
he's the entire first round of the face draft.
It's weird to say falling out of love with someone that handsome.
True.
But
challenge accepted.
I mean, he obviously did fall in love with him the first time.
Yeah.
and he got him to the Super Bowl. I mean, Jimmy G's right in the wheelhouse of all the Shanahan quarterbacks. Is Jimmy G that different than Brock Purdy, talent-wise?
Probably not.
I think
they're all in the same wheelhouse. Yeah, I mean, Purdy's a little better, but by the way, Mac Jones had some big games last year. He threw for 294 against your Jets, 247 against the Raiders.
How many picks did he throw in that game?
Like 11?
Yeah, exactly.
He threw two picks. But
the 294 includes the return.
But my point is, the guy can push the ball downfield.
I don't think he does that well. See, that's why I disagree. Yeah. Like, I feel like that game is a great example because I watched that game. That was a game when Tate went crazy for the Jets. He's throwing the ball in harm's way. I think he's a game manager. And I guess, like, Kyle Shanahan, maybe that's what he would want or he can win with that.
But that's why he wanted Mac Jones
on the field, though, is what I'm saying. I think if you're he's throwing the ball 35
times. Well, the Jags were trailing in a lot of those games, too, right?
They were trailing against the Jets, which is why they were pushing the ball down the field. Like, I think if that's how they're going to play him, I think that would be a disaster. He needs to be like, hand the ball off to Christian McCaffrey 100 times.
Well, he's going to be a play-action quarterback. That's the thing. You know, certain kind of quarterbacks are great at that. Guys who can't run love play-action. I heard someone talk about this the other day. If you're Lamar Jackson, you don't want to be in a play-action offense because you never want to turn your back on the defense. So these guys who are under-athletic are perfect for Shanahan. And Mac Jones is the picture of under-athletic quarterbacks. If you're looking at guys who can't move around, show me that shirtless picture of Mac Jones from the draft, pre-draft.
Man, 855-212-4227. I didn't know that anybody had this many opinions about Mac Jones. Perloff is the king of the backup quarterback, so it's very on brand for you. But I saw this and was like, move on. I didn't even give it a second thought, except for the fact that Brock might get a little nervous. But I think Mac Jones is going to be a non-factor. It's kind of where I'm going with that. Anyway, Andrew Bogish has headlines for us.
Guys, a very important update on a story we've been following all week long. MLB and New Era have now pulled two more controversial hats. The Azhos one and the Anaels one. They joined the Rangers boobs in Spanish hat that first caused all of this controversy. That Rangers hat, by the way, apparently selling for as much as $1,000 on eBay and other secondary markets. People did actually were able to buy it before they're like, that says a bad word in Spanish.
Yeah.
So there are hats in
circulation.
The wild. Yeah.
That's so funny because you can actually look at boobs for free. But something about that hat is going for $1,000.
Yeah, I heard you can do that for free.
I mean, this makes perfect sense, Maggie. Why would you not? I mean, I wouldn't pay $1,000, but I could see the value in that hat. And no matter how many free boobs are on the internet, not many hats say that word officially licensed by MLB.
That's going to be an elite thrift find in about 20 years.
Manny's going to be like, I can't believe my good fortune.
Bogues, I can't believe my goodwill.
You're going to apologize to me about the A's hat?
I was going to say.
I'm only going to half apologize because the A's hat that you didn't understand why we were so offended by. It does exist, but it was erroneously put into the story that I was working off of by The Athletic. So The Athletic's hat that spells out... I mean, it is.
The Athletic, I read the same article.
Right. The Athletic's hat that spells out...
ASS
does exist, but it's not from this lineup. So there's a second line of hats
that
got you New Era quality control with a curse word on it.
Man, I heard David Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, who's been on the show many times, talk about this is impossible that it got through that many layers. Like, he went through the whole thing about who gets emailed and who has to sign off and, like, the real X's and O's of what goes on behind the scenes. It's impossible, yet it happened.
I mean, the NFL
had to be on purpose.
The NFL, I think, has, like, an 18-month process to change your uniform. You can't just go, oh, I want a new jersey, like, because they have to unwind things and find new trademarks, whatever, and go through all of these checks and balances, and baseball has put out multiple hats with crude words on them.
Oh, remember the uniforms that were crude because we could see everybody's junk?
Yeah, that was wild.
Fanatics.
Some people like those, though. There's a market for those pants.
Yeah, women.
Hit women to the ballpark. That's why Andre wanted to see the Mets so often last year. I'm like, Andre, my knees hurt. I can't go.
So why did you buy a half-season ticket package when I can't go to the games? Like, oh, no reason. Just really like Francisco Lindor. No, I don't think that doesn't work on women, really. It's not, I don't think so. It's just a little too out there.
I'll be honest. I don't think the whole, like, sexy athlete thing, I don't think it's a thing. Like, lingerie football, like, I don't think people actually like that stuff. Like, I don't think anyone watches that.
Men don't watch that? Women in...
I don't think so. I don't know no man that watches...
I think it was a basketball league where women were only wearing thongs.
Yes, there was that too. And like, there's a idea that this is going to catch on, and it never does.
Well, nobody's there for the athleticism.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that this is actually a thing. Like, I don't think like, oh, if we put the men in like scantily clad uniforms or the women in scantily clad uniforms that these leagues would do better.
No, but there are women that that like tight baseball pants.
No,
and I'll be honest, there are beautiful tennis players and soccer players that like that you can't not pay attention to.
No,
them.
That's different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, here's a league where it's a lingerie football league, right. And it's just like women are in lingerie and shoulder pads. Yeah. That's all they're wearing. It never succeeds. It never works.
But they keep trying.
They keep trying, but I'm not saying. I don't think it's a good business model.
Peter Schwartz will run one of those teams someday soon.
Wouldn't that be amazing? He will, and you guys will be jealous.
I mean, I think if they had more downfield passing, if it was a little more vertically oriented.
The two high safeties has really killed that league, the lingerie league.
I mean, let's face it. You have the internet. Do you really need to watch lingerie football? There's probably... better things to click around.
Well, yeah. Pico DeGoyo.
What was the height of this? Because I remember that lingerie football league. I know someone who played in it, actually.
Did they do a halftime of the Super Bowl? Where there was an alternative?
Oh, not on a different channel.
Yeah.
Puppy Bowl pregame, lingerie bowl at halftime.
You could flip over to the lingerie bowl, and EJ's right, it never seemed to take off.
I mean, I remember when I was at Sirius, there was a version of lingerie football because three of the women came to the Sirius studios, and I mean, they were legitimate athletes. They also happened to be very attractive, and they tackled my coworker on the air, like bum-rushed him as if he was a running back. That worked out well.
Do you know who's the current owner of the what was used to be the lingerie football league?
Trump. Antonio Brown.
You guys are not that far off, actually. Mike Ditka.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
This Wikipedia page is correct.
But he...
Ditka, you dog, you.
He owned, like, this works? This is, or he owns the idea of this? Like, this is a thing that exists? There are teams?
Yeah, so it's changed many names. Now it's just called the X League, which wonder why it's
only
called
one
that.
X?
Only one X. And since 2021, the league is owned by Mike Ditka, according to Wikipedia.
At 85 years old. Apparently, Ditka's eyesight's still good.
I'm very curious, by the way.
Or he doesn't know that he owns it.
Someone took his money. eBay Muzhara's next.
It was either crypto or the lingerie league.
Folks, who are these tennis players and soccer players that you're tuning into?
Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Exactly.
Hyunming
Song. You said specifically women.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... No, like, I'm Maria Sharapova looks beautiful while playing tennis. Anna Kournikova looked beautiful while playing tennis. Caroline Wozniacki looked beautiful while playing tennis.
You're misunderstanding my question. I'm asking you, who should I watch?
Oh, I give you a list now, yeah.
Bro, send me links.
Yeah. I do notice that the women tennis players are on a bit of a run right now.
For like three decades.
Yeah, a lot of Eastern European women...
My research on this suggests that it looks like they've now moved away from lingerie to wearing more normal uniforms. And maybe that's why Ditka now owns it.
He's trying to legitimize?
I think so.
Is that where we're going in society?
What are the ratings on that?
they describe it as a semi-pro league, so I can't imagine they're very high.
Actually, where Ditka is, I'm not sure. They legitimized Ditka at this point. I mean, Ditka's last few years in the media were an adventure.
Yes.
I mean...
I don't remember.
That's not a controversial thing. Ditka went off the rails at the end.
I'd have to refresh myself. I haven't thought about Ditka's media career in a while.
Mike Ditka, the actor from Kicking and Screaming?
Yeah, same guy. Manny, same guy.
The Will Ferrell vehicle.
Film.
When's the next time we get lingerie bowl? I feel like we're kind of trending that way in America. We're kind of, you know, we're maybe in a little bit of a post-Me Too and now back to a little more TNA.
It's going to happen again because it keeps
coming up. It always
does. They keep bringing it back.
It's like an athlete racing an animal.
Yeah. It's honestly like spring football. Like they're going to keep thinking that it's a thing. It's just not
XFL
a thing.
XFL 3.
GM Peter Schwartz.
Again. Did we do any headlines? That was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first one. Okay. I can tell you that the Rams, Real Football, have formally released Cooper Kupp, unable to trade him in his large cap hit. LA can spread $21 million dead cap money over this season and next. The Jets divorced linebacker C.J. Mosley yesterday for $4 million cap savings. Former Jets receiver Mike Williams returns to the Chargers, and the Seahawks signed fellow receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Oh, I have a good idea for the next iteration of the Lingerie League. I just thought of it. You know, you guys were watching Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader show. Perloff, you watched that. You said it was
amazing.
A good show.
Amazing.
It's not even about the league. It's about the tryouts. Do Hard Knocks and like some kind of tryout for women.
Any videos about that, Maggie?
It's over?
Never mind.
Oh, you mean like OnlyFans and like Instagram accounts?
Yeah, that's already naughty. Yeah, it's another, by the way. You know, at the plumber. Oh, you got a broken pipe. Oh, I'm here for football tryouts. It's all done.
It's all the same plot. Yeah.
Let's see you take
a hike. Pizza's here.
I'm just saying it could be cool.
Spider-Y 2 bananas, a whole different meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
They say get under center, Maggie. You're talking about something a little different here.
I understand, guys. The build-up to it is almost better than the actual thing. Like, you weren't watching Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders to see them actually do the halftime show. Nobody cares about that. It was about the drama of who makes the team.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting to see the front office of the Cowboys operate. That was more about Jerry and his daughter. But this is Maggie, you know, anyone under 73 years old is online watching real women do stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why the lingerie, nobody on earth cares about that, because you have the entire world at your fingertips.
I get it. Well, this whole conversation started with the vulgar hat that somehow got through all of MLB's safety nets. It's a slang term for women's breasts. And I said, it's funny, you could actually see women's breasts for $0, yet you'll pay $1,000 for the funny hat.
And the Lingerie League wants you to pay $10.99 for pay-per-view.
Ooh, they need play-by-play guys? How about this idea? What about barefoot football, Maggie? Get those size nines there for the guys to...
I'm not giving this away for free, folks.
Dog.
What? Peter Schwartz will pay
these
you money.
These dogs. A woman's foot league?
Oh, dog.
Now we're onto something.
I think so. That market has not been tapped yet. Barefoot football? With like
there's only cameras on the feet.
Exactly.
Caraco.
I'll see you guys from the Aaron Rodgers Malibu Beach. I'm going to be rolling in dough. Try to cash in off
Maggie's
these.
Doing another remote show for California. What?
Cash in off these 2x4s.
Is she ever coming back?
You want more scores for me?
Eh.
The Thunder wrapped up their playoff spot, a 118-112 win in Boston. Oh, and the Knicks won in overtime in Portland. Mikal Bridges a 3 at the buzzer. 114-113.
Bang! Bang! It is March Madness season. Selection Sunday is going to be coming up in just a couple days. And we have one college coach who's talking crazy. We'll get into that next. Bogus, thank you. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perl, I don't know if you've been paying attention at all to the SEC men's basketball tournament.
No.
Okay. Well,
how can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Very quietly, which is interesting and ironic because nothing he does is quiet, but quietly, John Calipari has kind of salvaged this first season with the Arkansas Razorbacks. This was in danger of really going off the rails when they started off SEC play going 0-5. But meanwhile, Cal rebounded. They got their 20th win of the season in the first round game against South Carolina, which was a narrow win against South Carolina, probably a little tighter than he'd hoped. But now they got to 20 wins. They're definitely making the tournament, and they are going to play Ole Miss around 1 o'clock Eastern time today. But Cal had some really interesting quotes about the SEC tournament, most notably that he doesn't care about it.
I don't care about the conference tournament, which is why we won it so many times, because I could care less. The tournament that matters is the NCAA tournament. Now, you play that tournament to get the best seed you can get. And if you're going to get to the finals, win. Or don't go to the finals and lose because you're exhausted and you got to play on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'm like, let's play well and try to improve our seed.
Okay, more from Calipari clarifying the SEC tournament comments. This is like the next day, and why he thinks this takes the pressure off of his team.
Every tournament we go in, we're doing it for one reason. We want to win games to build up our seed. Now, along the way, for a guy that does not care about conference tournaments, I'm guessing it's 15 or 16. So if you don't care, the kids don't care, no one cares, then I'm a magician. So how about maybe you're taking the pressure off the kids? That this is just another thing for us to get better and improve ourselves.
Okay, so this is some real, like, coach mental gymnastics on your team, right? Like some voodoo here. It's like, all right, we don't care about the conference tournament, but I would ask John Calipari if this strategy has been effective lately. Because if I go back to Kentucky and the last three tournaments, they exited in the first round, the second round, and the first round. So if you are basically saying, I got no pressure on you for the conference tournament, well, does it double the pressure, triple the pressure when the actual NCAA tournament happens and guys get tight?
Well, I think his reasoning's right on. You can't play till Sunday. It's one of the ironic things. It's a huge handicap to play till Sunday in the conference tournament, right? That's what he's saying. So that's, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that he won all those SEC tournaments, then went out early. So he's worried about playing too long and using your legs up in the tournament, conference tournament. That's why. But it's funny, he said he didn't care about it, but then he went ahead and won it every year and ended up screwing his team over. So his thesis sounds dead on to me.
Well, unless you take a team like NC State, who had a
had to get in, right?
Had to get in, goes to the ACC tournament, wins it, and then ended up on a Final Four run.
I thought that was one of the bubble, one of the tournament bracket trends is the conference tournament winners are often ripe for upset. So, yeah, I mean, I think what Calipari really thinks, I do not want to be here long because I want to save my legs for the tournament, right? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I
guess. That sounds logical to me.
Yeah, that strategy is fine, especially because he's playing with a seven-man rotation right now with Arkansas he's had injuries to our pal Boogie Fland and some others. I think that the part about it, though, is to say, I don't care about this.
Right.
And then the team goes out and plays well. It's like this, I think it's a mental approach that's my issue with it, because then the NCAA tournament, you're coming in with all the pressure in the world, and that's how you lose to FDU, or that's how you lose to St. Peter's, I mean.
And ironically, when he was winning, when he mentioned 15, 16, for those listening, he's saying that he won those years. They won 4 years in a row at one point in the SEC. But those years, he was playing with De'Aaron Fox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns.
Like, he was winning with those guys.
So maybe
it's a little different talking about the calculus then, where, all right, I took pressure off guys. We took pressure off for future NBA stars.
Right.
The guys you're coaching
right
now.
Right.
The guys you're playing now, coaching now, haven't been those guys yet. So maybe a different approach is necessary.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But even those guys, after the title year, they often disappointed. I mean, I always laugh looking at the old Kentucky teams, the Devin Booker. Booker might have been good, but some of those teams were wildly disappointing considering the NBA talent they had. But lately, it's been a disaster. I mean, Calipari's run at the end. That's been one of the worst performing tournament teams. I think it's more the legs. I'd be curious how all the conference tournament, like, how does the Big Ten winner do every year? But I don't know. If he's already in, then I kind of agree with his thinking. Like, what difference does it make? Is it seeding?
I think there's something to be said, though, about, you know, 'cause I think about the struggles they've had in the tournament recently. Sometimes the conference tournament is good practice for game pressure, right? Like, you can't simulate being in a neutral site where maybe, especially if you're Calipari's teams, where teams are probably rooting more against you, you're a neutral site, the fans are turning in the middle of a game, and your team has to work through maybe tough environments, tough situations,
right. Weird
environment. That's the kind of the whole point of the conference tournaments for the teams that are playing in these bigger conferences. If you're saying, well, this doesn't matter, do you then go into your first game against some of these teams that they've been getting upset? St. Peter's, the team that had the guy that was shooting all the
Oakland shots.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, do you go into those games, and because you didn't really simulate that game pressure in the conference tournament, are you not ready for those moments would be my question.
But did they win?
Sorry, did they win those conference tournaments?
No, they've lost the last few. That's my point, is that they've been losing. Like, they haven't done well in the conference tournament the last 3 years. So, and the last 3 years, 4 years, is when they've been having these terrible first-round exits.
Right.
Before, they would win a game or two at
least. I misunderstood that. Because I thought he said that, hey, even if we do win, it doesn't really matter.
Well, he is saying that. But yeah. He was saying, I think Calipari was being kind of clever with the numbers, right? Because, again, in 15, 16, 17, when they're winning all those times, those are great teams, and yes, they did underachieve in the tournament sometimes, but they were at least winning a game or two. In recent years, they've been getting knocked out of the first round when he's been having this approach of not caring about the SEC tournament. That's why I ask, again, like, is it maybe you can not care when you have Anthony Davis? Maybe you should care when you got the guys you got at Arkansas this year.
I think it's, again, I think you just end up putting more pressure on your guys for the tournament as if there's not enough. But, you know, to be fair to Calipari, I think the real story of this year is that they have turned this season around, and kind of improbably, because they kept losing dudes to injury. And I'm not saying that they're going to be a championship team, but with a 7-man rotation and what looked like could have been a lost season, they are pretty battle tested. Clearly, they play in the toughest conference in the country. The SEC is gangbusters this year. And here's Cal, and they're probably going to be like a 10 seed is what they're projected to be right now.
That's what I'm so fascinated about with the SEC, particularly because it is by far the toughest conference. And do you get into that conversation of you guys are beating yourselves up so much that by the time you get to the NCAA tournament, do you not have anything left?
Yep.
Like, that's going to be because last year there were a lot of SEC teams we thought would go further, Auburn particularly, who struggled, and that might have been the attrition they took all last season.
I had Auburn in the final game last year, I think.
A lot of people did.
But there's so many of them this year. They're so good. They're so tall and so good that somebody's got to get through here. I mean, if the entire SEC struck out, would that be the craziest thing ever?
I just think it'd be impossible.
I mean, I don't even think the brackets are going to let that happen. There are going to be so many high seeds out of that conference.
How many people, though, are going to look at Calipari and think, you know, just for the star power alone, the resume, pencil him into the Elite Eight or something?
I wonder if people fade him. I mean, fading him would be a better thing in terms of recent history than actually putting them to go far.
We've got a huge question for you about March Madness. Not John Calipari, but about March Madness. 855-212-4227. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Don't move.